Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast to tell you about my friends over at the Gaslight on the Hill in St. Louis, Missouri. Check it out at GaslightSTL.com for a full listing of upcoming events and book yourself a tour. Come over and check it out. It's a beautiful recording studio attached to a bar, and they all happen to share a wall with Cha Cha Chow, so you can come over and get some tacos, some cold drinks, watch one of your favorite bands record in the studio, and just have a great time. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram while you're at it. Like I said, full listing of events, GaslightSTL.com. Also wanted to tell you about my friends at Music Record Shop. They have a brand new location. They just moved over to Washington Avenue, right over there next to KDHX. So come visit the new location, new records every Friday, live in stores, a lot on the weekends. You can follow them also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Shop online 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
This is Joe Meyer, and you are listening to the Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Tell me something no one else knows. Blackest little secret that you never disclose. Crossed out lines in your diary. Go into the grave.
Little people.
Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out at Einstein's Bagels. Einstein Brothers Bagels, I guess is the proper name, right? It's actually my first time in an Einstein
bagel. Oh, really? Bagel. It's great, yeah. I mean, everything you want.
Yeah. We're hanging out today with Joe Meyer. Welcome to the show,
Thank you very much, Shane, for having me here, man. Yeah. I'm glad we got to do this.
Yeah, so. For sure. It's kind of been a while in the making. We've talked about it, you know, like you've been all over the place, and yep. but I'm glad it worked out, man.
Yeah, me too. So this is great.
I don't know. I was thinking. I think this might be actually the first time we really get to talk like
probably more than 2 seconds.
Yeah,
you know.
I run into a lot of you guys at gigs and stuff, yeah. And I get to say hey, and that's about it. But
yeah,
this platform allows me to kind of get to sit down and have a nice conversation and get to know you guys a little better than just in passing and stuff.
Right.
And so
right. That's cool.
Yeah. So I'm like I said, it's been something I've been looking forward to getting to know you a little better and get to talk, and you home for the holidays. So
So we
get to hang out, man.
Definitely, man. Cool.
I don't know. Well, I guess recently you've been out on the road with Craig Campbell.
Yes. Yeah.
How's that gig going?
It's great, man. We've been down in Nashville now for about, my family and I, for about 5 months. I've been with Craig now for almost 6. And, it's great. It's been a lot of fun. It's been a great experience. He's a super, super great guy to work with and, I guess, for. Yeah. He'd probably hate me to say that. You know, but, he's a great guy to work with and for, man. And sure. Everybody's super cool. So,
yeah.
A lot of fun.
I was pretty excited when I heard the news that you got the gig and all that. And, I've been actually a pretty big fan of Craig's for a while. I met him on Willie Nelson's Country Throwdown Tour.
Oh, cool.
Several years ago now.
Yeah.
In Columbia. And that lineup, like, I was excited then, but now all those guys are, like, you know, huge. There was, like, on the side stage was Craig, was Brantley Gilbert.
Oh, yeah.
Lucas Nelson.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Randy Houser.
Houser's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then on the main stage, you had Jamie Johnson and Lee Bryce and Willie.
That's a cool lineup.
Yeah. It was a crazy show.
To do that again.
Right. And it was like, you know, it was obviously a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
But, I mean, a lot of those guys were on the way up at the time. A lot of people that really didn't know.
Sure.
I know Drake White was also there. Another guy who's been really doing great lately.
And, cool.
But it was just, like, crazy for me, like, as a fan of, you know, country music and stuff.
Yeah.
To see that guys, all those guys together on one bill was a lot of fun. And
yeah.
But then now that all those guys are, like, you know, Lee Bryce is doing arenas now stuff. And Randy and
Brantley Gilbert.
Yeah.
And, I mean, yeah. All they're all doing great, you know. Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, Craig, man, he's crushing it, too. He's been doing really well. And
he's doing great, man. Like, you know, we got Outskirts of Heaven on the radio now. And that just, they kind of do like a little wintertime chart freeze where everybody takes winter vacations. And we're at number 28.
Okay.
So we got into the top 30. And, you know, we're hoping that it goes higher and higher,
yeah.
You know, so
definitely,
yeah,
yeah. His Fish is one that cracks me up.
That's a great
yeah,
song, yeah,
sure. Yeah.
That's a crowd pleaser,
yeah. But
there's people that actually will bring like giant cutout fishes, you know, fish to the show,
right.
Fishes, there you go,
yeah.
Fish to the show, and it's great,
it's
fun,
sure. But yeah, so what, You guys probably bouncing all over the country,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, it's as of right now, we're mostly doing kind of like weekend schedule.
Okay.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, which is kind of nice. You're home for a few days at the beginning of the week always. And,
right.
You know, this year we're hoping to be a little bit more busy with the new single and stuff. And but it's been great, you know. We get to do, when we're in Nashville, we get to do the Grand Ole Opry and stuff like that, and you know, then we get to hit the road and do some fun stuff. We have a New Year's Eve show coming up in Atlanta, and yeah, it's fun.
Sure.
You know,
I guess that was your first time playing the Opry then with him, or
it was my first gig with him.
Yeah,
was
yeah,
the Grand Ole Opry.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
It was like you're hired.
Yeah.
Friday's the Opry, next Tuesday's the Today Show. I was like, well, all right, you know.
Yeah.
So
hit the ground running.
Yeah, exactly.
What is that like? Is that just surreal?
Oh man,
playing that stage.
The first time I did it, yeah, it was weird. You know, like you walk in there and it was like they didn't have the curtain closed, so you could see the entire theater, and it was just like, wow, you know. And at the Opry House, they have the little circle, in the front of the stage. That's the original wood from the original Opry.
Right.
And I, you know, went and stepped in that, and it was just like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
What a feeling, you know. And the first one we did too, like Roy Clark from Hee Haw was on like right before us. He's 84 years old or something. It was so cool, man. Yeah, it was awesome.
Very cool. Man.
Yeah.
I haven't done like the Opry and stuff. I haven't been able to go to some of those, but I've been to Nashville a few times.
Yeah.
I haven't really done a whole lot of the tourist stuff down there, but
sure.
I went to down there for a show as a Capitol Records block party.
Thing. Oh, cool!
Or street fest or whatever they called it. And, it was Alan Jackson, Eric Church, Eric Pasley, and John Party. And,
oh wow!
And it was free. So we drove down there. And I never seen Alan Jackson, so I was like, I'll go. And of course, Eric Church, he was on his way up too.
John Party. I mean, he's killing it now.
Yeah, and he was like the local or the, you know, the unknown on the label at the time. Like he was, he went on early and opened it up. But now he's
huge now, man.
Right.
Yeah.
So, it was just it was totally worth the drive. But we got on early because we knew it was going to get packed and so by the time the show was over and we'd been standing all day and like. We just went back to the hotel and crashed and like didn't really get to do the, you know, fun stuff in the city and things. But it's a neat town down there though.
Very fun.
So was it a pretty easy transition moving from?
I had gone kind of back and forth from St. Louis to Nashville over the last few years, and I had a lot of friends of mine that I already knew that had lived down there that I went to college with or. That I had known from just playing around St. Louis that had been down there.
Yeah.
So I already kind of had, like, you know, a few friends down there that I could go and crash with them. Or they would be like, hey, I'm playing a gig, come out and hang out. And that was really awesome. You know, to already go down there and know a small handful of people already that was like, cool. So, yeah, that made the transition. We found our house because of the guitar player in Craig's band. He was like, yeah, you should check out my neighborhood. And I was like, great. So, you know, I mean, that helps, you know.
Yeah, definitely. Is that do you get to play like local gigs and stuff down there during the week?
Do you
enjoy your time off?
I have a lot of time off now, staying with the kids, you know, and watching my son and stuff. And you kind of got to still kind of get acclimated to the people down there and to the scene. And it's kind of like anywhere, you know, you got to get to know people around town. I've been playing around with some songwriters down there, which is really cool. You know, I like that more because if you're still kind of creating, like a lot of them will look at you and be like, you know what you heard on the demo, you know, stretch it out, you know, do what you want. And it's like, I like that more than going down on Broadway and playing 4 hours straight with no breaks of, you know, party music and cover music and having bridal showers vomit on you and stuff. You know, that's like, oh god, but it serves its purpose, I guess.
Sure. that's a thing you gotta think about, like, because, you know, for you it might just be a gig or whatever, but every night, like, those people out there like celebrating or whatever, it's a party, and so you got to keep the energy up,
gotta keep
time.
It up. Yep.
That's where my interest is more into the singer-songwriters. I would love to go down there and just kind of take in a couple of rounds.
There's so many great ones. Yeah. And there's so many that are just trying to sell a couple songs or whatever that you could look at a piece of paper and be like, I don't know who these people are. But when you hear it, you're like, wow, these guys are all great. These people were all great. You know, wow.
Sure.
That's a pretty cool thing about down there, you know.
Well, that was you know, guys like... Chris Stapleton. I mean, that was him just a couple of years ago, and now he's a huge deal. And
Thomas Rhett and Chris Jansen, those guys co-write with so many people. You know, it's
and all those guys are great writers, and they finally getting their break as a solo artist or whatever, and making it on their own. But I got some friends that write down there, and just doing their own stuff. But I guess they're always looking to. sell a song if it comes, if the opportunity comes along. But
yeah,
one guy I talk about him a lot on the show, but I'm just a huge fan is Will Hogue.
Oh yeah, and, yeah. I think he's in East Nashville. Yeah.
And he he, you know, he writes and stuff. All of his stuff's great, but he Eli Young Band picked up his song that Even If It Breaks Your Heart.
Oh yeah,
and you know, and obviously a lot of people were like, well, we'd much rather hear your version of it and stuff. And he's like, yeah, but that one song put my kids through college. So
heck
like,
yeah.
It can be profitable if you can sell
definitely
a hit song down there. And I mean, they ran that went up to number one on the charts. So.
Oh yeah, yeah. Craig yeah. even had a co-write. He had a co-written a song on Garth Brooks' last album.
Oh yeah,
yeah. And so you know, it's like that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
he's always like, man, yeah, that's awesome. You know?
For sure.
So
yeah, very cool. Yeah, I didn't realize that. But yeah, I think the first one that really got my attention with Craig was that Family Man. That's
yeah.
It's just a beautiful song, and you know, really hits home for a lot of people, I think. I mean, I don't necessarily have the family, but you know, I can definitely relate to the message in the lyrics
definitely.
And stuff. So,
yeah, that was his first single,
right.
I believe.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, yeah,
we still play it every night. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure
that's a popular one.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you haven't heard Craig Campbell's stuff, get out there, check it out.
Yep.
Of course, it's all over all your platforms, your iTunes,
Spotify,
and
everything. So.
But yeah, so I kind of wanted to go back a little bit though,
sure.
and get to know more about your start here. I mean, are you born and raised here in St.
I am.
Louis?
I am. I was born and raised in South St. Louis, right by Ted Drew's,
right on.
on Chippewa.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I just it wasn't too long ago. I mean, it's a couple of years, but I'm way late on it. But I finally went to Ted Drew's.
Oh, dude.
There's a lot of these like things like. I felt like being a tourist in my own town.
Yeah.
Like there was a lot of things I had never done as you know, when I'm late in my 20s then, and but I went to Ted Drew's for the first time a while back. I went to Crown Candy for the first time.
Oh yeah.
Stuff like you know.
I haven't been there in forever.
Yeah. But a lot of these things, like you see them all over the Travel Channel and stuff like that, when you come to St. Louis. But it's like I'd never been, so I was like, I better go check it out. So
definitely.
But yeah, they obviously lived up to the hype. We got the BLT at Crown Candy and
survived.
Survived. Yeah, it was intense though. I'm pretty sure I finished it. It was a lot of bacon on it, and then like then we set it like I think we went to the zoo afterwards, and I felt like I was just like sweating pure bacon grease and stuff. And, like, it was like
you smelt like the sandwich after walking around.
Yeah,
I hear you.
Yeah,
Ted Drew's is a you know that's like a. Both of my sisters, that was their first job. I mean, like, it's like, that neighborhood was,
right.
like, you know, that was the rite of passage, you know.
Yeah.
We moved to the county by the time I grew up, so I had to start at Baskin-Robbins.
Yeah.
It wasn't quite the same.
Right. So when you started drumming?
I started in school band. It would have been fifth grade, so 1992-ish, at St. Gabriel, South St. Louis. And yeah, that's, you know, xylophone and snare drum and all that. That's when I started. And I got a drum set in sixth grade from a little old lady. It was in her attic. It was $300, and it was a 1966 Slingerland, which nowadays you probably could never find that deal because everyone would put it on the internet and charge, you know, $2,000 for it. But back then, it was like, I don't know what these are. You can buy them for $200, $300. That's fine,
right.
you know. So... I still have that drum set, too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Nice. I think there's a lot of that. I think the my mother-in-law was just telling a story. She, yesterday, had some Legos or something she found of her son's.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, was like, oh, I'm just going to donate these things. And, like, they were still, like, in the boxes, I guess. And stuff.
Oh, wow.
And, like, she took them to Goodwill or whatever it was to donate them. And they're like... and then, like, do you realize what these are worth?
Yeah.
And she's like, nah.
Collectors
like,
will buy that stuff.
Yeah. So, like, they did the math, and it was like, I think it was, you know, $400-something worth of Legos or whatever.
Dude.
And, like, one set was, like, I don't know, what anyway, whatever it was. They wrote her, she got, like, a tax receipt thing for whatever because it was so much money. But you know, it's a thing. It's like a lot of people really don't like, oh, it's just a drum set or it's just Legos right. or whatever. But there's
bought it for my kid for nothing. It's right. whatever. Yeah.
But some of these things, you know, in the right hands, people realize they're worth a lot of money.
Totally. Totally.
So you have to realize what you have. I mean, I think the internet's opened that up a lot to be able to do the research to find out
for sure
what they have. And I think that's what's great about all those, like, American Pickers or whatever.
Oh,
all those kind of shows and stuff where they find something cool that people didn't realize what they had.
Yeah. Old gas station signs that you can buy for $200. Yeah. That's wild.
Yeah. So you're playing the drums. You get in, get introduced to that. What's your first band?
My first band was my neighbor's band. Okay, they were a few years older than me. They had a heavy metal band, and I want to say that we might have been called something hilarious, you know, like desanitation. I did something like that at one point in time, and I was probably 14 years old or something, and we were playing like Metallica and Megadeth and Black Sabbath and Misfits, and this is 96. 97, something like that, you know. Then we played one gig at Afton High School. It was, I was bitching, you know. And then after that was, the next band was friends of mine from high school, who I want to say we were called One Way at first, but then we thought, maybe people will think we're a Christian band. We better change the name. So we called ourselves Roundy, which was the singer's name.
Yeah.
So then we played a few, like The Side Door and The High Point and The Galaxy, some of the old clubs that, you know, were around in 99, I guess, whenever that was. So
Very cool. quite a big difference to what you're doing today.
Yeah, man. You know, well, it was fun, you know.
Sure.
It was fun to do that stuff.
I just had a Tony Barbata on the other night.
He's a good friend of mine.
Yeah, he's a great guy, and we had a lot of fun hanging out. But you know, talking to him about his drumming, you know, same thing. He's drummed in about every different genre of music and everything. You know, it's just like it's just kind of crazy to me to think that I know it's not, but it's like it just for me. It's like it's just nuts to think about that you guys can go from, you know, metal to country or whatever, and it's like it's just, you know, people.
Yeah, I remember doing gigs with, I mean, his old band Core Project.
Yeah.
Like Mississippi Nights and the High Point. So, yeah, back in 2000, you know, 2 and 2000. Yeah. So.
Yeah. I was just listening to Stern. I listened to a lot of Howard Stern, and they just did like you know, the best of the year thing, and they replayed the Metallica interview on there, man, and like it was a lot of fun to listen to those guys talk, especially for a long period of time, you know, like an hour or something there, and then and they played a couple of tunes live, but Howard was, you know, like getting them talk about writing a lot of these songs and things in like the early days and stuff, and like just really cool to listen to those guys talk about how like Sad But True came to be and
That's
all these
cool.
you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, but
that was a huge Metallica.
Yeah, man,
I loved them.
They were. I haven't got to listen to the new record, but my buddy's a big fan,
great.
And he said it's a fantastic album. But
it's really cool.
So I, it was funny to listen to those guys talk, like too, and like how like, you know, now they're getting older and stuff. They were like, they were, you know, writing these when they were young. They were writing all these like crazy speed metal songs and stuff, and then like, then they realized let's shorten them up and make them like less, you know, complicated and stuff because and mix them. So that's when they, of course, like Enter Sandman and stuff hit, and like all the kind
the Black
of,
album,
the more radio friendly hits they had.
Yeah, it worked. I mean, that album sold, I don't even know, 10, 12, 15 million. I mean, who knows? You know,
sure. I mean, but yeah, I'm kind of hoping for a big tour with the new record. I'd love to see them.
I would love to see them too. I've never seen them.
Yeah,
that'd be great.
So maybe we got a GNR tour coming through town.
That's
here.
Right. Yeah.
So. Never seen them either.
No.
But I don't know if that one's probably a little out of my budget, I think.
I've heard prices are a little steep.
Yeah. And I'm sure Metallica will be too, but I might I'll save up for that one.
So, right. Yeah. Right. Sting coming to the pageant, that would be cool.
Yeah.
Like that same thing, like $200 a ticket or something. Yeah.
Yeah. That's some of those things, like, I don't know, as much as, I mean, it's an expensive ticket, but. You know, obviously, if you're a huge Sting fan, it'd be worth it because, like,
what a cool venue to see him in. Yeah,
yeah, that's I can't think of an example now, but I've seen some cool shows like that where they, you know, should have been in a lot bigger venue, but they, you know, did some kind of a stripped down thing or whatever it was, and they brought it into a theater, and it's just like,
yeah,
it's really
I love
a special
that too.
Moment. Yeah,
yeah.
So
for sure.
Yeah. Do you get to go to a lot of shows?
I mean, here and there. You know, it just depends. It there's, so, you know, I've tried now to kind of watch, you know, how much I spend when I go out, because it seems, you know, everything now is more expensive.
Right.
You know, 15 years ago, a show would have been $25-$30, or now a show is like $50-$60, you know, and it's like, well, you know, I got to buy diapers.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
But I do try to catch, there's a lot of cool, like, clubs around Nashville that guys who are just there will just, like, Vince Gill will play this place on Monday nights, and it's like $20.
Yeah.
With this band, the Time Jumpers, and it's like, I'll go check that out. That'll be awesome.
Definitely.
You know? So,
I just, you know, obviously you get to talk enough of these people doing the show, and, like, a lot of them, like, you know, it's just crazy to me to think how much you guys are all involved in music, and you play all the time and stuff, but, like, you just don't really ever hardly get to enjoy it anymore a lot of times, like, because you're either at a gig or rehearsing or or whatever it is, and it's like...
Oh, yeah, I mean, I used to be out 7 nights a week, you know, just, you know, every night just checking stuff out, hanging out, and, you know, and that was fun, but there comes a point, too, where you're just like, my couch, I have a couch now.
Definitely.
Netflix.
Yeah, I'm. That's pretty much mine. Like, I'm out a lot. Like, I love it. But you know, I'm working the scene now. Kind of working at Oyster Bar, doing that, and like, and then doing. I'm always looking for the next thing, next person to talk to for the shows also. And then, but yeah, it hit me. Was Thursday night. I was gonna go out, and I just ran out of gas. You know, I just laid down on the couch and passed out and missed out on all the fun.
Sometimes you got to wave the white flag, man.
Sure.
It just, I'm done. Yeah,
definitely.
I hear you.
Yeah. So you also, besides Craig, some of the earlier stuff I recall, I know I was a big fan of Matt Hill and the Deep Fried too.
Yeah, Matt Hill.
Did some stuff with Matt.
For a long time,
Yeah. And you've been seen with John McVay.
Yeah.
And
I just played with John last Wednesday.
He's become a good friend, man. We
I love John. John and Mary Alice, they're like the nicest people.
Definitely.
So,
We I'd heard of John's name for a while through when he moved to St. Louis and stuff. Like, you know, hearing different guys talk about how great he was, and then finally got to see him play, and I invited him on the show, and we hung out at.
That's right. I listened to that episode. That was great.
Listened to hung out Steve's Hot Dogs and. Had a good time, so. But yeah, just a great guy and a lot of fun to watch play. He's a.
Oh yeah.
I remember seeing him at the Big Muddy Blues Festival this summer.
Oh,
or,
cool.
I guess late summer. Was it August? Or something like that. I think. But yeah, just it was a lot of fun to watch him feed off of that crowd. Like, I mean, playing that big crowd like that, and like
he's got a great stage presence, and you know. He's a great entertainer. He's a great player. You know, great songs. Yeah, John's great, man. I had a lot of fun playing with him.
Yeah.
You know.
And you recorded on and played with Whiskey Morning, right?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so that's another CD to check out.
Yeah. Whiskey Morning. I believe it's called The Here and Now.
Yeah.
And
you just sat in with Susie and
Susie and
Michael.
Yeah. We're all still very good. They're playing my wedding, so yeah.
Cool.
We're all very good friends, and I love all those guys very much. You know, they're very cool.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I saw them. I saw them at the Q and the Lou. Festival they did.
Yeah.
So it was nice to see them play again because it's been a little while. And,
yeah.
And then of course. Had John Pizzoni on drums.
Yeah, so. John's a good friend too, man. Yeah, I love John.
Yeah, yeah. It's a pretty crazy thing when I've become friends with him now. And like, you know, just he and all those guys, you know, Kevin and you know, all of them, like the guys I really admire and respect. And then like to see I went to see. Sir at Del Mar Hall when it opened up, and John played with Life Without Wayne.
Oh yeah.
When opening the show, and then at the end of the night or after their set or whatever, you know, come through walking through the crowd, and you know, he's like, "Hey, what's up, Shane?" He gave me a hug and stuff. So it's like,
yeah.
That like was really cool to like to be recognized by your own, you know, one of your favorite drummers,
sure,
and stuff, and like
yeah.
It was just it was pretty crazy. So.
John's great, man, and yeah. And like you said, Kevin, yeah. Kevin and Michael and I from Whiskey Morning, we were all in Shooting with Annie together,
yeah, right.
And I loved all those guys are all great, man.
Yeah.
You know, it's a small, it's like there's like this scene that's just incestuous. We all have played in different bands with
sure.
each other, and you know, and
yeah,
yeah, it's a lot of fun, John. John and Michael and Jerry Jost and I got together one time, and we were playing old Beatles songs.
Yeah.
And we almost took it out, but our lives all got crazy and busy and stuff.
Right.
But John was playing bass. It was awesome. And he was singing. He sounded just like Paul McCartney. It was great,
yeah.
Man. It was cool.
Actually, I was mistaken. It was a Shooting with Annie at the Q and the Lou, not Whiskey Morning.
Which, okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's like you're saying, it's all the, a lot of the same.
It's players, all the same, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, right.
But yeah, it. No, but yeah, that's a great, another great Shooting with Annie. That was a
yep.
Grape Stains record.
Great,
fantastic.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, who you? What other projects have you got to record on?
I got to record on. I did the very first. Me and John actually did the very first Incurables album with Jimmy Griffin.
Yeah.
Another good friend and. That was a while ago. We did that. I played with Javier Mendoza off and on for, now, I mean, now, God, 10 years or so.
Yeah.
And, I mean.
You got a gig coming up in Nashville
do.
Yes,
with
Javier?
We're going to be playing together at December the 30th in Kimbrough's in Nashville. He lives down there, too, so we still
okay.
play the occasional gig here and there and catch up. And,
yeah.
You know, it's great, man. It's, like I said, we started working together in 2006. So now it's like. Kind of, you know, he'll just, I'm not going to worry about sending you a song list. You'll be fine. I'm like, oh, great. You know, cool. You know, so yeah, it's fun.
Right on.
So,
yeah, I haven't met him yet. I know a lot of guys around town that have been, you know,
yeah.
played gigs with him and stuff, but
he's a great guy, man.
Yeah, I need to meet him. I saw him, on the,
McDonald's commercial.
Yeah.
With Beetle Bob.
Yeah. Yeah. So I thought that was pretty funny to, you know, getting some, St. Louis, you know, McDonald's commercial or whatever. And
yeah.
Stuff, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was. Hopefully that did well for him. I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess
he still keeps very busy and is always writing new stuff.
Yeah.
And you know, is great, man. You
yeah.
know, I mean, he's. I mean, he's been a. We've done duo things together and trio and full band. So it's been cool as a drummer and stuff too to try to look at like if. One song and approach it many different ways of like,
sure.
Oh, okay, I'm going to play this with a cajon tonight or this with the drum set, with a full band, you know, how can I break it down? How can I fatten
right.
it up? And that's been fun, you know. And with him, I got to do that a lot.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I love that different stuff like that. They're like, you know, alternate versions and
yes,
stuff.
Yeah.
The B-sides or whatever.
Right,
you know? So,
right.
Hearing songs done a lot of different ways and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, so. Sure.
But yeah, I'll have to get a hold of him and see if I can.
Yeah, his number is no.
Oh, yeah.
Just
right, yeah. yeah. Now, like I said, I think that might have been one of the first. I don't know. Probably one of the first times I was watching you guys play. I was trying to think. Like I had a similar conversation with Tony because I think I don't know exactly if it was Tony or if it was you on drums. But I'm pretty sure it was probably both of you guys though at the time. Like, but I know I. Went to see Matt Hill play quite a bit and stuff.
Yep.
I don't know. It was like quite a while back and I forget. But
yeah, I was in the band for... We did the record and we did some touring. And then I had moved to California for a little bit. Played with John Namath.
Yeah.
And Tony was playing with Matt then. And then... yeah, what would it... That would have been 2012? 11, 12? Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So...
But yeah. And that's when I first met... Paul Niehaus, and
yes,
and he's become a good buddy now.
Yeah, Paul's everywhere now.
Yeah,
man. Yeah,
yeah. Blue Lotus Recordings.
Yeah, it's a great studio he's
yeah,
got.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I've done a few podcasts down there. Roland Johnson's podcast was
oh,
recorded
yeah.
down there.
That record's great. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's,
Paul did a great job, man.
For sure. But yeah, he's doing a lot of great things, man. He's
yeah.
Like, that's exciting to see buddies of mine doing well.
Yeah.
So, like I said, we it's the holidays. You've been in town. You guys have a nice Christmas with the family?
We did. We have, you know, my family is it's my fiance and I, and then I basically have two stepkids, and then we have a son together. So it's filled with a lot of family, you know, so we're running around this family, that family, you know. Now we're cleared of all the holiday parties, so I get to relax today.
It's fun, it's exciting, but it's also like, sometimes it's crazy, because everybody wants to have like dinner at the same time or whatever. You gotta like try to split between two or three different places or whatever. It's just like, it gets crazy.
And with three kids now, it's like, you know, we need to rent another car to get all their stuff home. I don't know how we're gonna fit it all in the car. It's cool, you know.
You're a new father.
I am. Yeah.
That was.
He's almost 14 months.
Yeah.
It's a boy. His name's Wayne.
Yeah.
It's great. I love it.
Is that just? I don't know. I've been dealing with quite a bit of my buddies now. You know, they're all having kids and things. But you know, as musicians and stuff, and like, you know, trying to balance that whole world of being dad and playing and stuff, and like, is that
at first I think I was like, oh man, you know, how is this going to affect, is this going to be, what can I do, what am I going to do? And a friend of mine said to me the best thing ever. He said, he was a musician who has kids, and he said, if we all had to quit when we had kids, nobody would ever, there would be no records.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that's a good point. You know, like, you know, he's like, so many people had families.
Sure.
And you'll be fine, and it's fine. Yeah. You know, there's no, you wake up earlier, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I'm not waking up at noon anymore, you know.
Yeah.
Noon is like dinner time for me now.
Right. Yeah, it was just cool. Kenny Barr does a lot of the photography for El Monstero and snapped a real cool picture the other day of Jimmy Griffin holding his son at
he's a new dad too.
At Soundcheck and stuff. So it was just, it's like I said, it's fun to see these guys that are, you know, one, they're dads, but they're also or mothers and stuff. They're bringing the kids involved in the music and stuff. And like, I think that's for, people always ask me about it. And like I said, I don't have any children, but I think when the time comes, like, obviously a lot of things will change, but hopefully I'll be able to bring them along, introduce them to music at a very young age and stuff, and you know, go to obviously appropriate shows, but you know, be able to take them to live music and stuff. And like,
when Randy was 8 months pregnant, so you know, the baby's like, right, she was very pretty. A good friend of mine plays drums with Billy Idol, and they were at Lou Fest. So we went, and she was like, I wonder if this is going to be loud for him. It was funny when we're standing there, and Billy Idol started playing. We're like the side of the stage, and he started like, you could see like, you know, like he was like kicking.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, he's having a good time, man.
Yeah, right.
Billy Idol, first concert. Yeah.
Nice.
So
I took my cousin, Jolene, very, very pregnant at the time. I forget, but we took her to a Point Fest, and she made like a custom shirt that said like "Rock Me Out" or something like
that's
that,
awesome.
Or whatever it was. But it was just funny, and like the walking around. We also went to a Bone Thugs concert when she was very pregnant and stuff. So
that's great.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun, man. Like
it's
said,
great.
It's nice to see guys that are bringing the kids around and stuff, and the kids are having just as much fun. So
yeah. It really does. It makes everything more fun, and it makes it more, you know, meaningful, you know, because you're doing it for a variety of reasons, you know, and it's a lot of fun, you know.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying it.
Sure. Yeah, I often ask them, like, if they find, like, as the guys that are, like, songwriters, if they find, like, you know, inspiration or if any of that's, like, changed any of their songwriting and stuff like that, and, like, because, like, I don't know, it's a game changer, man.
It is.
A lot going on there.
It is. So, that's the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got New Year coming up, 2017.
New Year
coming up. And now Craig looking to hit it hard, huh?
We're going to, you know, like I said, we'll hope the single keeps on going and get out in the spring and see what's going on. I mean, the funny thing is the guys actually are playing a festival in Australia that actually falls the day of my wedding. So I'll be getting married.
Yeah.
And, they're going to be out there doing that, which is cool. And but, yeah, we're going to have a busy summer, hopefully. And, you know, I come back here and still I work sometimes with John Heiser. You know John very well. And I'll come up and do some recording with him and another songwriter named Seth Walker who lives in New Orleans right now. I'm going to do some little touring with him, and he's great, fantastic. Check his stuff out.
Yeah, John's been on the show. We hung out in his studio.
In, yeah.
With Asthmatic Recordings now.
That's right.
So, yeah, check out John Heiser.
Building Rome and John Heiser and all that stuff, yeah.
Yeah, he's. I think he finally released his... solo project and great songs, but
I played on a lot of that.
Yeah,
I played on the last Building Rome record he did, and we've become really good friends, and you know we work together very well, and you know
he's
a great dude, man. I love John
for sure.
Yeah, he's asleep right now.
Yeah,
I mean it's almost noon, so.
Right.
I'd text him and say, "Hey, I'm on the show with Shane," but you know he won't get it till like 4.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I wanted to also ask, like, when you, you're learning drumming and stuff, like, as a kid, like, did you take a lot of lessons and things? Or
did I did. You, I, I had great teachers in school, and I always listened. That was a big thing, was, like, I was always just listening to the radio and listening to cassette tapes and CDs that I had bought at the time, and... my first drum set teacher was a guy named Rusty Parker at Drum Headquarters. And, him and Kevin G. Nino and Chris Treloar. I had a lot of great teachers that, you know, whether it was, oh, this is how you play that lick, or this is that feel, or, you know, this is this technique. You know, it was great, you know.
Yeah.
It's a never-ending well.
Right.
Of, you know. You could be 150 years old and still be learning something new, which I love, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think kind of going back to what I was saying about all the different, you know, from metal to country or whatever, but I think people are always interested in learning different, you know, techniques and styles and, you know, as I think it's, you kind of just kind of crave that learning of it, you know, just like always.
The interest of new, you know, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. What do you have any advice or things that recommendations for people looking to get started drumming or anything?
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, it's be patient.
Yeah,
that's something I wasn't always, just listen. You know, never stop listening to music and remembering why you got into it. You know, we all get into it because we wanted to play and it's fun, and it should be always.
Sure,
you know. But patience is a big one.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it was hard to be like, why am I not Alex Van Halen right now?
Yeah.
Well, he's played for 50 years, you know, so.
Sure.
It's going to take some time and seasoning and, you know, repetition, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally relate to that. Like, you know, it's just, I see a lot of these guys that, you know, they get upset that certain opportunities aren't coming yet, but it's like,
sure,
these guys have been at it for a long time, putting in the work, paid their dues, and it's a lot of also, you know, some opportunities come along because you know the right people. It's a lot of networking and stuff.
Always,
so,
so it's right place, right time, and
right.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, you keep plugging away and stick with what you know.
When I was, you know, 21 and 22 and had it figured out, I put that in air quotes. I was, well, why isn't this happening? What? You know, it's like, well, you know. Yeah, I look back now and I'm like, well, you dumb kid, it's not going to happen now. You got to put the time in, you know. It's like, you know. So, takes time.
For sure, man. I don't know, man. So has it always been drumming, or have you ever messed around with guitar and stuff?
I do. I have an acoustic. You know, and I like to noodle around with it, you know, and my 8-year-old stepson Jude is taking guitar lessons now, which is kind of like I'm taking lessons again, because it's cool. He'll come back and I'll pull out my guitar and he'll have his out and I'll be like, okay, and I'll try to figure out what he's doing so I can help him with it.
Sure.
So I enjoy that, you know. It's fun. I played a little piano in college, but you know, I couldn't do it any service, you know. So
yeah,
it was a long time ago.
Right. Yeah. I know, like a guy like Kevin Bowers.
Yes.
Just put out his own solo record.
Yeah.
Which I mean, I was like, you just don't hear a lot of drummers putting out a record, but
Kevin's so talented, yeah, and he can play so many instruments, and he's such a he's got so many thoughts always, you know, and it's like you can see it when he plays, you know, it's like the creativity's just like happening,
yeah,
it's coming out of him,
sure, man.
And yeah, you put a guy in a room like that for an hour, and he'll come out with a symphony,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, so. he's a lot of fun to watch too. He's just he's an incredible talent.
He is. Super nice guy.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's it was really cool to see that he, you know, putting this project together, and it's out there now, and like, but he's got some of my favorite players on it also with him and stuff, and I just thought that was really neat to see a drummer put together a full length album, a solo album and stuff. And,
yeah.
Technically a solo album, even though. Whatever. It's got all the other players on it, but not just him drumming on it.
So, right.
But yeah, it's. I think that was really a neat project, and I see him playing around like, a lot with Big Mike.
Mike Gure.
That's
town. A good friend. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun to watch these guys. I mean, like again, just become friends with these guys now and stuff. It's just it's really exciting for me.
Played with Mike a lot, man. Me and Preston Hubbard. Back 07, 08,
09. Yeah.
Love Mike.
Yeah.
What a soulful dude.
Sure. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he's a great guy, man. I just saw him at the Sean Cannon's Voodoo Players Led Zeppelin night they did last Wednesday.
I heard that was awesome.
It was unreal, man.
Yeah.
It was a packed house. I had to turn, I'm working the door. I had to, like, turn people away for a while, man.
That's awesome.
We were over capacity. It was just.
Good for them.
You know, obviously, a lot of Led Zeppelin fans around here, but two, that lineup they had was just insane.
Right.
The amount of talent on the stage. Like,
I saw pictures, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Eric Lysett, Big Mike, Emily Wallace, Sean Cannon, Tony Barbata, Dave Farber.
Eric and Dave are Super Jam buddies. We were all in Super Jam together.
Yeah.
And Salisbury, Eric's great thing. And,
Yeah, he's a. Eric's playing Thursday with Salisbury.
Cool.
Or off Broadway.
Nice.
So I'm going to go check that out.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah. And Sleepy Rubies are opening up. So.
Nice.
Tony Barbata will be there.
Oh, yeah. So,
yeah. It's going to be a good
Tell
time.
Tell him he owes me money.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
Well, yeah, man. Well, I guess we'll drop in some tunes if
great.
You want.
Sure.
We can, Outskirts of Heaven. You want to play that?
Yeah, we could, You can put that on for sure.
Yeah. You have any other requests you might like to play for them?
Oh, my goodness. Anything from, you know, that Building Rome album, the second one. Can't remember the name of it right now.
Yeah.
That was a good one. The first Incurables album, Songs for a Blackout.
Okay.
Played on most of that stuff. Grave Dance, that was a fun one.
All right.
Like that one, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. So,
all right, I'll throw some tunes on here.
Beautiful.
And, again, if you're in Nashville on the 30th, come out and see Joe with Javier Mendoza.
Yeah.
And Atlanta, Georgia, New Year's Eve, come out and party Craig Campbell Band.
It'd be awesome.
Yeah.
We'll have fun.
Yeah, man. All right. Well, thank you so much for,
thank you, Shane.
For doing this.
Yeah,
I really
my pleasure, man. I appreciate it.
And, man, have fun out there with Craig on the road. And
cool.
Have a good summer.
You too. Happy New Year.
Yeah, thank you, sir. You too.
All righty.
I'm living in a nightmare. I'm choking on my words again. It's not fair. You took me for granted when you walked away. You walked away and fed your ego. With every lie I'm itemizing, filled up. The empty space inside your head, you had no clue. You thought your soul to you well. You can't say you gave it all you had. You can't say you gave it your best shot. But I can't yet.
fucking asshole, with no respect for anyone that you deem less than you. It's so pathetic. Don't you see? Don't you see that when you sell out all your friends to get ahead, you don't win? With all the flies inside your head, you must agree. You must agree that you can't say you gave it all you had. You can't say you gave it your best shot. But I can't.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.